about this for a moment. The creator of heaven and earth, not only did he give his son to live, die, and arise for us, but he gave us a book that we call the Bible that we can live by from day to day. I believe that all Christians intend to study their Bibles. However, I think what happens is we get caught up in living life so much that we don't study it like we should. I like the book of Psalms. More specifically, I like Psalm 119 as it shows us the value of the Word of God. Think about this. This is deity, the mind of deity, sharing thoughts with humanity, with you and I. We will never be equal to deity. We will never fully understand deity. But we get a glimpse as to what he wants for us in this book that we call the Bible. And it's interesting because we live in a country that the Bible is so readily available. I'm sure all of us have more than one Bible in our home. And if you don't, it's ever so cheap to purchase a copy of the Bible. So let's go, and you should be in Psalm 119. Let's go to Psalm 119 this evening. We're going to see if this is working tonight. If something happens that it doesn't, we're shutting it down, but we're continuing on preaching. When we shut it down, doesn't mean we shut down the lesson. The lesson goes on. And what I've done, first of all, I've broken it down into different segments on Psalm 119. The first segment I have is God's Word, the Bible, the endurance of the Word, on how it lasts. So let's just look at some Psalms, verses in Psalm 119. Let's go to Psalms 119, 89 and 90. And then we're going to tie it together with a New Testament passage. Psalms 119, 89 and 90. There we have recorded for us, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." The first part, your word is settled in heaven. Again, as we talk about the endurance of the word of God, let's go to Psalms 119, 144. Psalms 119 and 144. Again, basically, we're saying staying in this psalm, with the exception of sharing New Testament passages on each segment. Psalm 119, 144. There it states, "The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." Now, if we were to go back and look in history, there's been on many occasions people have wanted to kind of get rid of the Bible. They've not been successful in that, and here it stands to this very day, and it will stand till the end of time. Let's go to a third passage in Psalm 119, and Psalm 119, and we're going to look at 160, 119, 160. There it states, again, talking about the durability, the endurance of God's word, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Again, when we go to God's word, it's truth. It's the standard of truth. Truth is not on a sliding scale with God. When the principles are brought forth, they carry on. Now, when I take these three passages in Psalm 119 and keep something there, we're going back there in just a moment, I am reminded of this New Testament passage. It went out, didn't it? Oh, it's going in and out or what? Okay, all right. We'll just close it down. How's that sound? Let's go to the New Testament, because that's going to drive me nuts seeing it blinking on and off. I'll be thinking I'm at a rest stop or something. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 24 and 25. And you might be saying, "Chuck, why did you shut it down so quickly?" Let me tell you a little bit about Chuck. I'm patient in many things except when it comes to electronics and especially computers. Ask my wife. I go ballistic when things don't go right. So you don't want to see me going ballistic. I'd have to come forward and apologize. That's why we're shutting it down. All right. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. It tells us this. "All flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away." Look at verse 25. "But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Notice, tied with the passages I talk about the endurance of the word in Psalm 119. The word of the Lord endures forever. How wonderful it is that we can go to this word and see what God wants us to do. Let's go back to Psalm 119 and take a second area. So now we know the endurance of the word. Let's look at a few passages talking about the attitude we should have towards the word. Let's go back to Psalm 119 and Psalm 119 verse 2. There it tells us, in 119 verse 2, blessed are those who keep his commandments, who seek him with a whole heart. I think here's a problem we have. I think people want to seek God, but they don't seek him with a whole heart. Where we're fickle, we're excited one time, we're down the next time. No, we need to seek him with a whole heart. Again, as we look at this concept of our attitude towards the word of God, go just a few verses down to verse 34. In Psalm 119 and verse 34, as we talk about one's attitude toward the word of God. In verse 34, it tells us in this psalm, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it. Again, look at the phrase, with what? With my whole heart. A lot of people are half-hearted in their service to God. But do I have an attitude that I'll do it with my whole heart? You know, years ago there was a commercial about Merrill Lynch, and I don't have anything involved with Merrill Lynch. But it would be a commercial, and the bulls would stop, that when Merrill Lynch speaks, everybody listens. When God speaks, we should be listening. We should be seeking after him with our whole heart. Two more passages along these lines, and then we'll tie it together what I comply with New Testament. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119 and 127 and 128. Psalm 119, 127, and 128. Here we have recorded, therefore I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. I want to stop here. That sounds pretty, doesn't it? Do we really love God's commandments more than gold? And it says more than fine gold. How many times do people put off God's word because they're out seeking what? Monetary things, money. I love your commandments more than gold, more than fine gold. You know, when we love something, no one has to tell us to go after it. We desire to go after it. Again, let me give you a sports illustration. This is years ago when my son was a very young man. We got tickets through my wife's sister to watch the Bulls. We got there an hour and a half early. We were the first ones in the parking lot, and I did not mind. And they opened it up, and we happened to have, because of my sister-in-law, skybox tickets. And we went up into the skybox. We were executives looking down on this court. And the game lasts in excess of 2 hours with all the shenanigans that goes on. And then it went into overtime. And I wish it would have went into 5 overtimes. You see, when you love something, what? You don't want to quit feeding upon it. What was sad is we didn't feed upon all the food that was there. They brought all this food up to us, and we didn't pay attention to that. If I ever get into a skybox, I don't care who's playing, I'm going straight to the food table. That'll never happen again. When we love God's word, no one has to tell us, or nor will we feel, that we're forced to study his word. What does my heavenly Father have in store for me? It's funny, oftentimes when I can't sleep at night, you ever have a time you get up and you can't go back to sleep? I found out that I go study some portion of God's word. I'll study either in Job's or Psalms or Proverbs. And I'm not saying the word puts me to sleep, but I'd rather get tired doing that than laying in bed thinking about 101 things I have no control over. So again, the value of God's word, our attitude towards it. Let's go to Psalms 119, 162. 119, 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Is that our attitude? That we look at this book we have before us as great treasure? It's the mind of God being revealed to us as to what he wants of his creation. Now, the two passages I tied this together with in the New Testament, you may agree or disagree with me, but when we look at the topic of the attitude towards the Word, I tied it together. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Of course, we're all familiar with this. This is on the Sermon on the Mount. And it tells us there in Matthew 5 and verse 6, this simple statement, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, tying that together, I'm not going to go to the passage, but the beginning of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Well, the only way I can let the word of Christ dwell in me richly if I have the right attitude and I go to it. Like I said, I've studied for many years, but I study every day because I learn more and more as I study. In fact, maybe you do feel the same way. Have you ever studied and something just clicks on your mind? You say, why didn't I get that before? That's so simple. Why didn't I pick up on that before? And that's how God's word is. So again, we started out that the endurance of the word and then our attitude of the word. Now, why do we even put the time in? Because the word gives us guidance. We have the guidance of the word. So let's go back to Psalms 119. And Psalms 119, let's go back to verses 9 through 11. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. There we have recorded for us, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Again, talking about guidance for the young man. How's he going to cleanse his way? By taking God's word and letting it be his guide. And we could go off into a tangent on the many ways God's word guides us. Of course, it guides us for salvation, but it guides us way beyond salvation. It guides us for marriages. It guides us for parenting. It guides us for choice of career. It guides us in our different attitudes we have to deal with. Need I go on? It's a guide. And the young man was told that go to God's word with that whole heart. Again, turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, verses 59 and 60. 119, 59 and 60. There we have recorded for us, "I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." Notice, I thought about my ways, and what did I do? I turned to your testimonies. What are we talking about? Guidance. So God's word gives us guidance, not only in the hereafter, how to get there, but it gives us guidance in this life right now. For instance, it talks about anger, does it not? Do you ever have to deal with anger? God's word teaches about that. Money issues, it doesn't tell you specifically where you spend your money, but it teaches principles about money and principles on how you use it. And I could go on, but there's the guidance there for us from God's word. Let's go to Psalms 119. We're all familiar with this one. Psalms 119, 104 and 105. In Psalms 119, 104, and 105, there we have recorded for us, "Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, we're all familiar with 105, are we not? "Your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." But do we really understand that? And if we do, do we take time to feed upon that? Understanding that man is not able to guide himself. In fact, quite frankly, when I guide myself, I make bad decisions. When I allow God's word to guide me, when I take time and pray and study and talk with my wife and put everything together, I make good decisions. So again, it is the guides for us. One more passage along that. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 119, 133. Psalm 119, 133. There it states, "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Notice your word. What are we doing? How lucky we have it that we can go home, open up a Bible, or turn our computer on and get to a Bible. In fact, if you got a Bible on your computer, you probably can get 10 different Bibles. And you can sit down and study and glean from what God has given unto you. How important it is, this is God speaking to us. Now, the New Testament passages, when I talk about the guidance of the Word, I have two sections. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're all familiar with this. And verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. There we have recorded for us in this chapter, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here's God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he knows what we're going through, and he's given us a pattern to follow. Let me give you an illustration of not following a pattern. Years ago, my daughter was going to go to a Bible camp. This is when she was a teenager, young teenager. And we were going to take her to the Bible camp, and my wife was, and that's when you didn't have Siri. You didn't call up Siri, and she guided you. That was way before Siri's time. And my wife said, did you want to take maps? And I can handle it. I've got the guidance. So we drove up into Wisconsin. And you know, realize every road in Wisconsin looks alike. It looks alike. And then finally, when I realized my guidance wasn't working very good, I did the manly thing. I went to the gas station and told my wife, go find out where we need to go. And she came back and she found out. Because that way, if I messed up then it's now her fault, not my fault. Because she... That's what happens when we think we're so smart, talking about life. We need guidance from God's Word. One more passage in the New Testament concerning that. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3. Here we have, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Listen, all things that pertain to what? To life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of him. Guidance. God's word gives us guidance so that we can make the right decisions and thus make our life easier as we live on this earth before we go home to heaven. But we have two more areas to cover. We want to talk about the strength from God's Word. So let's go back to Psalms 119. Talking about the strength from God's Word. Let's begin on Psalms 119 and verse 25. So take me back to Psalm 119, verse 25. Look at how it phrases it there. My soul clings to dust. Revive me according to your word. Now the phrase, my soul clings to dust, what's that leave to the impression on your mind? He's having a good time or a rough time? Be a rough time. If it's clinging to dust, you're not enjoying yourself. He's going through some hard times. My soul clings to dust. Revive me according to your word. And this next psalm, when I'm asked to participate in a funeral of a loved one, I always use this psalm because I think it hits home with this. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 119 and verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, there's other times this happens, but when you've lost a close loved one, you are just totally drained. I know when I speak at funerals, the immediate family, it's a big blur to them. They've gone through some difficult times, and even though the person was a faithful Christian, if that be the case, it's still their soul melts from heaviness. Some say, well, we need to prepare. Yeah, we need to be prepared to die, but no one can prepare for the death of someone. Even though you know they're going to die, it still makes it difficult. I preached the funeral of my mother-in-law, of my father-in-law, and at the home of my sister, of my mom, a small memorial service. It's unexplainable when you've lost a close loved one. When we lost our first child, it was unexplainable, especially to my wife. Again, my soul melts from heaviness. That's the time you need to turn to God's word and pour out your heart to him. And I give this passage to them because quite often, I don't know what to say. What do you say to someone in a time like that? I have no idea. Now, I can now with a parent because that I've experienced that. I can with a small child because we experience that. But I can't with an older child. And even if you experience it, each person handles it differently. Now, this is not only talking about death, but I believe that would be included. I think your soul melts from heaviness at the loss of a loved one. Go to God's word to get strength, to move on. And I'm not suggesting that the heartache will relieve, but you'll be consoled by God's word. I don't think you ever get over some things. I wished I could call my mom, and it's been a number of years, but I can't. She's gone. I wished I could be with my father-in-law and tease him. You know what I used to do to my father-in-law? I had a full head of hair, and he had a fuller head of hair, and I would cut out some of his hair to make it my hair. And he'd go, no one can do that with me. You start cutting my hair, you're in trouble, my friend, because I don't have much to give up. I miss those times. I can never bring them back. I'm glad I've got those memories. My wife was real close to her parents. Can never bring it back. Your soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. God understands. I don't fully understand things, but God understands those things. 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon him, right? Let's go to another psalm. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has given me life. Okay, brethren, things are crazy in our world now. It may cause you to become tense. Just go with it. You're a Christian. Pray about it and move forward. Don't get caught up on what the media has to say. Don't get caught up on either side politically. They're not your savior. Be focused to the Lord. I don't know what God has in store for this country. I've got another lesson that I'm going to bring some of that up with some of that, but I don't know. But according to this passage, I need to be strengthened from God's word. You see, if I start looking and try to guess how it's going to be on this earth a month from now, I'm going to drive myself nuts because I don't know. You know, when we were in Chicago, I used to love Chicago. It went nuts in Chicago. I know we don't hear it down here, but every single weekend, not one weekend, not two weekends, not three weekends, every weekend there were over 30 shootings, not 30 deaths, but over 30 shootings in the Chicagoland area, week after week after week, and some of them close to home. And most of those shootings, innocent people got hurt because people act dumb. The gun is not the problem. It's the foolish person who has the gun. And they decide to stick a gun out of the window as the car. Now, you don't need much mathematics to figure this out. You stick a gun out of the window, and by the time you shoot it, guess what? The car has moved. So the person you're aiming at, guess what, genius? It's not hitting that person. So guess who it hits? A child. Guess who it hits? A mother. Guess who it hits? Someone not involved at all. And then people wring their hands. We got to get rid of the guns. Now, I'm not talking about guns, but come on, people. Understand. And this happens all the time. I can't get caught up in, I have to be focused to God and do the best I can. And by the way, if you go to Chicago, be careful what areas you go in. And if you don't know, I'll give you some, although I've been away for 2 years, so it may have changed some. But there's some beautiful areas, and there's some areas you have no business being in. And it's not bad because all those people are bad. It's because they've allowed the gangs to take over. But the point is this. I can get strength from God's word even in the most devastating times. One more passage before we move on as we look at the New Testament, talking about strength from God's word. Psalms 119, 143, and 144. 119, 143, and 144. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, I don't own a gun. So don't think I'm a big NRA. I just have a problem. We're blaming the wrong source. It should be the individuals that should be blamed. And we should look to God for strength. But we have recorded in 143 and 144, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give in me understanding, I shall live. Everything's all falling down on me, but your commandments are my delight. So when you get overwhelmed, don't stay like Eeyore. Go to God's word and be strengthened. Now, one New Testament passage I have with strength from God's word, turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. As he calls the elders of Ephesus together, he states, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace." What's it able to do, people? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's why we don't leave this sitting on the coffee table. That's why we don't leave this sitting in the car. That's why we want to bring this to be a part of our lives. Because this is deity giving us the roadmap how to live and how to handle our emotions and how to make decisions. The last area we're going to cover tonight, and the lesson will be yours, go back to Psalms 119, is our meditation on God's word. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119, 15, and 16. And this has helped me, no disrespect to grocery stores, but this has helped me as I stand in line, and inevitably, people don't know how to count. 10 items or less. We learn that in grade school, don't we? How young are you when you learn to count to 10? Not too old, are you? Nobody believes it. I stood behind one person. She had about 50 items. I had to remind myself, quit thinking about that and meditate upon something that's good. In fact, someone did say something to her. And she explained, well, yeah, I have 50 items, but I really don't have 50 items. Because, see, a lot of those items are the same thing, and that only counts as one. So you buy 10 boxes of mac and cheese, that's one item. No, that's 10. Go find another line. And people get, see, this is genuine. I'm not making this up. You go through the same thing. Instead of getting mad, as I used to do, instead of thinking how dumb that person was, or how self-centered that person was, or how, and I could go on, how, you know, I could give you a lot of different words, but I won't. What I should be doing is meditating upon the word. Shouldn't I? That's what I should be doing. Psalms 119, 15 and 16. Psalms 119, verses 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Wow. You see, if I'm meditating on the Word of God instead of getting more aggravated about the person in front of me, what's going to be better off for my blood pressure? What's going to be better off for me? Now, it's easy to say this now. I have to remember this week. Oh, I'm going to the doctor's office this week. I got to remember this passage this week when I go to the doctor's office, because their time frame and my time frame are totally different. A few minutes don't mean a few minutes. You know that. Now's the time to meditate upon the Word of God. Let's go to another passage. Psalms 119, verse 48. 119, 48. My hands also will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. How wonderful that is. Now, one more passage, Psalms 119, 97 and 98. Let's go down to 97 and 98. There it states, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. It is what? It's my meditation all the day. You say, well, what in the world do I meditate about when I'm standing in line? Well, meditate on 1 Peter, the living hope. How we're to gird up our loins of our mind. How husbands and wives are to act to one another. Meditate on Brother Wisdom and Daryl's class on Sunday, the things they bring up. Pick a golden nugget out of that and meditate on that. Meditate on one of these psalms. There's a lot of things you can meditate on from God's Word, if you so choose. I didn't say you had to memorize, although that's a good thing too, but as I get older, things I've memorized, they got lost in my memory. I got to find them. So it's good to meditate upon God's Word. When I think about meditating upon God's Word, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8. This is what I tie it together with. You may agree or disagree with me, and that's your choice. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, we have recorded for us here a passage again we're all familiar with. It's a beautiful passage. First part's not, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded. Well, if I'm meditating on God's Word, would that qualify me being spiritually minded? For being spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So before we close this evening, I want to go to one more passage. And that's Psalm 119. I hope this has been interesting to you. I hope it's been somewhat helpful to you as we study this psalm. Psalms 119, 165. There we have recorded for us in Psalms 119, verse 65. Great peace have those who love your law. And I like the next phrase. And nothing causes them to stumble. Those who love your law. And God's law is within the Scriptures, is it not? The Bible. Great peace. What are we doing with the law of God in regards to our life? Have we put on Christ? You remember Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Possibly most of us in this audience have put on Christ. If not, we hope you do. If you're not familiar with that, we'd be happy to study with you. But those of us that have put on Christ, we got busy lives. Don't let your busy life crowd out the Word. Make it a priority of your life, especially when you have difficult times, when you have times of decision, when you're trying to control your emotions. Need I go on? If you're here tonight and you've been lax in following God's Word, we hope tonight will help stimulate you to be spiritually more so as taking the Word and being a part of it. If you're subject to the gospel call, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?